gmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good morning to you, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning into the Refresh radio program right here on WMIE 91.5 FM. Today's Modern Worship, we're glad that you have invested the next half hour in your spiritual well-being. Pray that it will be a half hour that is well spent and will make the rest of your day something that is very, very productive. So we are going to be in Matthew chapter 6 again today. We're going to pick up on verse number 25. But before we get there, we want to say thank you to the folks at Wyrick Air, Heat, and Electric. 321-632-9538 is their phone number. They're based right here in Rockledge, Florida. They've got decades and decades of experience. If you happen to be out of the area and a family member calls and says, hey, I've got bad news, the air conditioner went out, you can even reach them on a 1-800 number that they have, 1-800-423-7424. We have several people in our church that use Wyrick Air as their air conditioning provider. They are great people of faith. They serve in a local church here in Central Florida, and they have been providing professional sales and service as well as repairs in the air conditioning, heating, and electrical fields for over 40 years. They work in residential and commercial settings and provide emergency service when necessary. They always strive to provide you with the best service possible at an affordable price. So if you find yourself in need of their services, give them a call, 321-632-9538, 321-632-9538. That's Wyrick Air, W-E-I-R-I-C-H. And it would be good to write that down before you need them. 321-632-9538 for the folks at Wyrick Air. So this last weekend, we launched our Be a Blessing mission statement, and that's why we exist. And so every week, we're going to be challenging our congregation to be a blessing and also to express gratitude to people who have been a blessing in their life. And then we're looking for testimonies that come about of just our existing to be a blessing to other people. So we'll keep you posted on that. But if you'd like to learn more about being a blessing in your community, you can visit us at 165 North Grove Street. We have seats available. We have social distancing available. We have some people that wear masks. Some people wear face shields. Some people just choose to social distance. And whatever you choose to do, we want you to know that we are up and running at Merit Assembly of God. I had somebody ask me, said, are you meeting in live services? And it's like, yes, we've been doing that pretty much all along. There were a couple of weeks where we had to do online only, but for the most part, we have had live services throughout this and just continued to operate with wisdom. And we've got capacity to seat, I think, about 29 or 30 different family units, anywhere from one to however many families need to be in there, or family members are part of that group. So if you're looking for a opportunity to gather with other believers, I want to encourage you, let's press into Jesus, let's bless the Lord, and allow Him to make us a blessing to those around us. So that is, you can find us 165 North Grove Street. I will be preaching this Sunday, 10:30 of the morning. We have Sunday school at 9:30, and then we gather for Bible study on Wednesday night as well. So let's turn to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, we are working through the Sermon on the Mount, and today we are going to pick up where we left off on yesterday's program. Yesterday we had concluded with, you cannot serve God and mammon. Verse number 25 says, therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin, and yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. So verse number 25 begins with the word therefore. You will also find a therefore down in verse number 31. And so there's a response. This is a response to what was going on before. And so the statement leading up to this was, you cannot serve God and mammon. And then it goes on, and it says, do not worry. It says over and over. It says in verse number 28, so why do you worry? In verse number 31, it says, do not worry. There's a message here, and that is, as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, we do not have to worry. We do not have to fall for the same distractions and be susceptible to the same insecurities that other people fall for. We don't have to do it. Now, you are hearing this from a person that very early in my marriage, I take that responsibility of my covering that I provide to my wife and children very seriously. And we did not get started off with a great economic footing. We started off with a shovel and a hole. That's where we were. And so you and I, we might find that we didn't start off in the best place, but we still don't have to worry. I was a person who was extremely concerned about the finances. And so I would get very anxious, and I would spend a great deal of time worrying about the finances of how we were going to make it. And it seemed like we would fall behind, and we would fall behind, and then all of a sudden we would get a big blessing. The company that I worked for would have a big sale, and I would sell a lot of shoes, and my paycheck would go up considerably, and it would get us back to where we were back in financial soundness once again. So I don't come to you today as a person who has had everything handed to me, and I've never worried about anything. I mean, when you are handed the keys of responsibility to a church, and you're handed hundreds of dollars of bills that are due in just a few weeks, and there's no money in the account, and the first offering is $37, and you put most of that in, you might look at that and say, wow, this is a challenge. And you can get very concerned about that. You know what? There was a lot of things that I didn't even know were available to me as paths to pursue that probably would have made a whole lot of difference had I known that they were there. But instead, we had to learn to trust God. So I want to read to you verse 25, and I want you to listen to how many times the word your and the word you are mentioned. Therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Okay? The person who is prone to worry is a person who's fixated on their own self. They're concerned about everything that is pertaining to them. And the solution that Jesus offers is to shift that focus from a focus of self-dependency for all of the things that you can see to focus on your relationship with God who you cannot see and look at what he will provide for you. Okay, the kingdom of God is different than the other kingdoms of this world. Kings benefit from people who do all of the hard work, and the blessings of that hard work flow up to the government, who in then turn provides a little bit of security and things like that. But they basically reap rewards from all of the hard work of the people. In the kingdom of God, the hard work was done by Jesus. The provision is done by our Heavenly Father, and he lavished blessings out upon people so that they will trust God and he will provide their security. So one is basically looking, the system of this world is looking for people to be in underneath you who are going to provide benefit to you. And the other says, you know what, I'm going to provide an unbelievable lifestyle for this group of people, and they're going to love me because I'm going to give them something that no one else could give them. So today I want to ask you, who are you focused on? The second thing I would like you to consider is, as you go through this list, there are a number of things that are described that people of Jesus' time were prone to worrying about. The first thing was their life. Now, you only get one. You only get one life, and so it's very important to take good care of that life. But it is a life that is not just temporary. It is not a life that is lived in obscurity. It is life that is lived in focus of God. And Jesus said, I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. I like an expression that I heard years ago. It did not originate with me. Couldn't tell you who it originated with, but it said this: Jesus did not come to make bad people good. He came to make dead people alive. That's a tremendous statement. In that process, he brings resurrection life into us so that we are not living under the bondages of sin that we used to live, but instead we are liberated and empowered by the Spirit of God to live the life that God always wants us to live. You don't have to worry about your life. And so I would tell you, stay close to Jesus. He is the way, the truth, the life. So one of the things that I have come to realize is that you have to focus on the source. Now, the scripture says that God is love. God is love. And that means that there is no other source of love, that the devil may try and label some things love, but he is never going to be able to provide the love that comes from abiding relationship with Jesus Christ. And so with that truth, I tell people this: what you see going on around you right now is the natural manifestation of individuals, families, groups, and a country that is no longer abiding in the love of God. And the farther you get away from God, the less provision that you are going to have of the very nature of God. God is love, so the farther we get away from God, the greater the void of love is. And then you get self-centeredness. You get anarchy. You get violence. You get hatred. You get all of the things that we are seeing going on right now. The same is true when we look at this aspect of life. The only fulfilling life that there is going to be is a life lived for the purpose of Jesus Christ. Okay? He is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. So if I told you that Jesus was the way, most Christians would understand that. They would, that it means that there is no other way to the Father but through Jesus Christ, because that's what Jesus said. It's not what Bob said. That's what Jesus said. He's the authority. I'm just the messenger. Okay? And so we would say, look, there's not many ways to Jesus. There is one way to Jesus, or one way to the Father, and that is through Jesus Christ, the Son. We would look at it and say, okay, it's not your truth and my truth. Jesus is the truth. He is truth personified. So we don't look at him and say, well, let's look at Jesus and we will analyze him and we will put him under greater scrutiny than we do anybody else, which is what historians do. They want the Bible validated in a far different manner than the processes that they use to validate other acts of history. So you don't look at the Bible and say, well, let's see what we can find that's true in here. You look at the Bible and you say, this is true, and I accept that. And so you don't say this is a version of the truth. You recognize this is truth. It is eternal truth. But all of a sudden, if we start talking about that he is not only the way and the truth, but the life, then all of a sudden, well, people say, well, I could find purposeful meaning of life in my career. No, you won't. You might be one of the few people that has a long career and it ends up blessing you. But just as soon as you step out the door, you know what? They've got to press ahead. So I've been at my church for almost 28 years. The church existed before me, and should Jesus tarry, the church will exist after me. It will do fine because it's not my church, it's Jesus' church. So I cannot get too caught up in the fact that I'm speaking to you on the radio or I pastor the church. I've got to recognize that my life is a byproduct of the relationship that I have with Jesus. So I don't have to worry about all of the different aspects of my life because I have surrendered my all to Jesus. Okay? And so if I have asked him to be the Lord of my life, that means he's going to order my steps. He's going to direct my paths. He's going to make sure the provision is there. He's going to make sure that the tools and everything that I need. He gives us everything that pertains to life and godliness. Okay? So therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life. Okay? And the things that we read here in Matthew chapter 6 are all about the various different things that are needed to sustain life. You know, we used to sing an old chorus that said, the world didn't give it to me and the world can't take it away. And so in spite of all of the searching and the research that has gone on, they've not found a manner in which to create what God so freely gives. God is the creator of life. He's the one that gives purpose to life. And so we don't have to worry about our life. One of the greatest testimonies that I heard was a pastor who was pastoring in a very violent community in a third world country, and he was so effective in his ministry that criminals said and tried on various times to assassinate him. And his testimony was, look, God has placed me here, and as long as God wants me here, I don't have to worry about my life. God is going to take care of me. And one day, he was assassinated. And you might say, well, that's kind of tragic, and it was, except for God raised up a church out of that horrific event that was mobilized and literally transformed their city for the glory of God. So I know this, as long as God wants me alive, I'm going to be alive. I'm going to continue to fulfill my purpose. David had a great statement, and you read about it in the book of Acts, where he was not going to die until he had fulfilled his purpose in his generation in proclaiming the good news of God to the next generation as well. As long as I've got purpose, I've got life. God does not want us simply existing. He wants us living and thriving for the glory of God. So we don't have to worry about stuff. Don't have to. So it goes on and it says, here's a list. I'm just going to run down this list. Today we're not going to get to look at details for each one of those. It says, this is what Jesus said we don't need to worry about in verse number 25. We don't have to worry about life. We don't have to worry about what we're going to eat. We don't have to worry about what we're going to drink. We don't have to worry about our body. We don't have to worry about clothing. You could add that to 2020. You don't have to worry about your house. You don't have to worry about your... And in 2020, you don't have to worry about your toilet paper. Okay? I saw a lot of things that people were talking about leading up into 2020, and no one that I know of was talking about a toilet paper crisis. And so people are, what am I going to do if I don't have toilet paper? Well, you know what? Humanity existed before toilet paper. So, you know, everybody was stacking up for months and months and months. And, you know, now the supply chain is back in place. Praise the Lord. But I will tell you, if I can just give you one little input as to the direction. And then, again, this is not the list that we read about life, eat, drink, body, clothing that we read about in verse number 25 or 20. Yeah, 25. This has to do with the toilet paper thing. We didn't know anything at all about the coronavirus situation, and my wife had found a brand of toilet paper that she really liked, and it's something that she would order and it would be shipped in. And she comes to me one day. This is back at the end of February, and she said, honey, I made a mistake. I said, well, what happened? And she said, I accidentally ordered 2 cases of toilet paper. And it's like, honey, it's okay. It's okay. We'll be able to store it someplace, and if not, you know, we can do something else with it. But it's going to be okay. It's not a budget-busting mistake. And then, you know, what happened after that? There was this run on toilet paper. We didn't do it to hoard it. We just operated with the way it was going, and we came to realize that God had created the situation where our supply of toilet paper was going to be met. And you know what happened? It lasted all the way until the supply chain resumed to normal. You don't have to worry about things, especially when you fixate on the blessing that you have with your relationship with God. You don't have to worry about your life. God loves you enough to save you. He loves you and pays attention to the details of your life. He knows the thoughts that you think. He knows the intent that you have in your heart. He knows the height that you have. He knows your weight, not the weight you tell other people, but your actual weight. He knows the color of the hairs of your head, the number of the hairs of your head. He knows the steps that he has for you, the plans, the purposes. Would it bring some ease into your situation if you knew that you knew that you knew that God was concerned about you? I'll close with this. I used to be amazed when my kids were little. I mean, they would just run pedal to the metal, full speed ahead all day long. And at night, once their energy ran out, they would zonk out. They could fall asleep in any position. I've seen some pictures of my grandkids, and it's like, you know what? That's a new position. I never saw any of my kids fall asleep in that position. But they could fall asleep in things that if you tried to get me to sleep in that, I'm going to be awake all night. But they could fall asleep like that. And you know what? What God spoke to me is they have the utmost confidence that you and your wife are going to take care of everything that they have need of. And you know what? My kids did not grow up with the same affluence, not influence, affluence that other kids had. You know, some kids came and said, why do you live like this? And my kids had this big old smile on their face because they just knew that everything was going to be taken care of to the best of their ability. And even though they didn't have a lot of stuff, they knew that they had somebody who cared about them. Tell you what, I encourage you today, live Wednesday a worry-free day, because you know that your Heavenly Father loves you and He's going to take care of every aspect of your life. You don't have to worry about life today. Jesus is your life. God bless you. You have a wonderful day. We will see you back here tomorrow on the Refresh radio program.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember Proverbs 11:25, "He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed."